Okay, we're beginning here, 8 lines down on the top of Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara begins, Meitivei. It's about to bring a Tosefta Braita that questions the conclusion we came to in yesterday's daf, which was a Mevashel Chelev B'Chalav, one who cooks the Asur fats together with Chalav. Over there we had a Machloket Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi as to whether you get Malkot or you don't get Malkot. The Gemara concluded that Kul Eyalma Ein Isur Chalal Isur. Everybody agrees that one Isur cannot devolve upon another Isur. Therefore, Basar B'Chalav cannot be placed on top of Chelev. The question then became, how do we explain their Machloket? And the Gemara gave three different versions as to what the issue is. Whether it's speaking about Achila versus Bishul, or whether everybody agrees by Achila that there is no Malkot. The question is, by Bishul, is there Malkot? Or the other way around, do we say that everybody agrees by Bishul there is Malkot? But the question is, then does that apply to Achila as well? So we saw all those different formulations, and now the Gemara challenges that and says, Meitvei, Ame Veshel B'Mechalav Patur. Someone who cooks Basar together with Mechalav, the waters of the milk, which the Rishonim translate here as whey, which is the leftover liquid after one curdles the milk to make it into cheese. That leftover liquid, the whey, is called Mechalav. And here the Braita tells us that Mechalav, together with Basar, is Patur. The Balei Tosafot point out, Patur means Aval Isur Ika. There still is an Isur because the previous Gemara dealt with Kutach. And Kutach is a product that the Gemara Psachim says is made out of whey. And that's what causes it to be Melchik. And there we said before that Kutach, along with all those other items, was problematic to be cooked. So you see there is an Isur. You may not get Malkot for it, but there still is an Isur. Dam Shibishlo B'Chalav Patur. Blood that's cooked together with Chalav is also Patur. We saw that yesterday in the statement of Shmuel. Hatzamot, Vagidim, Vakornaim, Valtalfayim. So the bones and the sinews and the horns and the hooves, Shibishlam B'Chalav Patur, that are cooked together with Chalav are also Patur. Here the Gemara gives no explanation for that, but in all likelihood it's connected to what we've seen previously with regards to Nevela and other restrictions that deal with the animal, that these are not considered to be a part of the Basar of the animal, and therefore they would be Patur. Hapigul, Vanotar, Vatameh. So all of these are Isurim associated with Kodesh. Shibishlam bechalav, you cook them together with chalav, chayav, you are chayav. So this line in the Braita is what's problematic, because over here you have Pigul, Notar, and Tameh, which are all Isurim, that precede the problem of Basar bechalav, because you're cooking them together with chalav. And yet the Braita says chayav, which seems to indicate that Isur is chal al Isur. If that's the case, how can you explain Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi's position as being that ain't Isur chal al Isur? My answer is very simply, Haitanos over Isur Chalal Isur. That's not a problem. This Tana holds Isur Chalal Isur. There are other Tanaim that believe ain't Isur Chalal Isur, and there are plenty of Machlokot with regards to this in the Tanaim all over Shas. And Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi are going to subscribe to those that believe ain't Isur Chalal Isur. Amevashel b'mechalav patur. The Braita says that one who cooks whey together with meat is patur. Mesayle the Reish Lakish supports a position that we've seen from Reish Lakish Titnan. We have a Mishnah in Machshirim, Mechalav Harehen Kechalav. When it comes to whey, it has the same status as chalav itself, as milk itself. Vamochel Harehu Keshemen. And the liquids that leach out of the olives has the same status as shemen, as oil. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish qualifies that Mishnah and says, Loshanu Elachshiret Azraim. That's only true in the sense that they are good enough to prime items in order to be mekabel tuma, because all zraim are food items required to be washed by a liquid, one of the seven liquids that the Torah designates as liquids in order to be mekabel tuma. Two of those liquids are chalav and shemen. So what Reish Lakish is saying, and this is a Mishnah that's found in Machshirim, so it makes sense, that the Mishnah is only telling you this din with regards to heksher the kabel tuma, that these liquids qualify to prime the item in order to be mekabel tuma. Well, the inyan bishul basar bechalav, when it comes to cooking basar and chalav together, mechalav ain't okay chalav. Their whey does not have the same status as chalav. Or in essence, what we're saying is that it's not considered to be milchik enough or milk enough in order to be asur with regards to basar bechalav. Because over there, there's a requirement of chalev imo, which means the actual milk itself, the product itself, and not a byproduct of the milk. And the whey is a byproduct of the milk being utilized towards the curdling of cheese. and therefore it's not classified as chalev imo with regards to basar bechalav. For everything else, it has consideration as chalav, including being heksha the kabel tuma, where it's priming something to become ready to be kabel tuma. But with regards to the din of basar bechalav, that is not the case. Tanur banan. So now we have a bright of bechalev imo. Ein li ala bechalev imo. I only know about the milk of the mother. Bechalav para verachel. Minayin, how do I know that the milk of other kosher animals is also problematic? Amart kal v'chomer. It is a kal v'chomer. Uma imo shelo nesra imo beharba'a. When it comes to the mother, where there's no restriction events crossbreeding the mother with the child, not only with regards to these two particular animals, but with regards to the species of the animal, nesra imo bibishulo. Nevertheless, there is a problem of basar bechalav, which is that the the goat, the young kid, in bechalev imo, with the mother's milk, para v'rachel shenesru imo b'harba'a, when it comes to a para and rachel where there is a restriction against crossbreeding them, enu din shenesru imo b'bishulo, then certainly there should be a problem for the milk that is together with that child. Tamalomar bechalev imo. That's what bechalev imo comes to teach you. Where it says, v'halam alikra. What do you need a pasuk for if you have a kal v'chomer? Ha'atyalet, you've already learned it out on a logical basis from the kal v'chomer. Seemed like the kal v'chomer worked pretty well. Why all of a sudden do you need bechalev imo? Amar Rav Ashi mishum de'ikah le'meimar, because you can say, mikar d'dina pircha. The underlying assumption of the kal v'chomer is flawed. And as Rashi points out here, there's two different ways that you can undermine a kal v'chomer. You can undermine a kal v'chomer because the kal v'chomer is premised on a statement that demonstrates that one item is kal and one item is chamur. So that is what's called mi'ikara d'dina. That's the beginning of the kal v'chomer. That is the basis for the kal v'chomer, is the establishing of the fact that one thing is kal and one thing is chamur. And therefore, you could undermine that by simply showing or demonstrating that what you thought was the kal, what you thought was the chamur, that is not true. There is a different relationship between them, or the relationship is not as one-sided or as obvious as you are making it out to be. On the other hand, there is also what is called the sofa din, which is that the limud that you're making, maybe it's true that one is kal, one is chamur, but the connection that you're making about the conclusion, which establishes that whatever din you're trying to learn out over here is more chamur than the din or the original din that you are stating. So over here, the establishment of the ikara din is the fact that the gedi and its mother are much more kal than that of a gdi with relationship to the para v'rachel. That's what establishes, that's what is the basis for the kal v'chomer, that we have a davar akal, which is the gdi vis-a-vis its mother, versus the gdi vis-a-vis the para v'rachel, where the harba'a is the achmir, and that establishes the kal v'chomer. Then the next stage is to say that within gdi and harba'a, where we say that's kal, there's something chamur, which is bishul basar b'chalav, which by the gdi, bechalev imo, is problematic. So that establishes a second stage, which is not only is the fact that gdi is more kal than para v'rachel, but also the gdi in relationship to its mother over here has a chumrah with regards to basar bechalav vis-a-vis harba'a. And then that leads or precipitates the final din, which is that by para v'rachel, there should also be an isur of basar bechalav. And so therefore, there are two stages in the kal v'chomer. And over here, where Rav Ashi says, Mishum de'ika le'meimar mi'ikara d'dina pircha, comes to undermine that first stage of the kal v'chomer, which is establishing the basis for the kal v'chomer, that one item is kal, one item is chamur. The whole kal v'chomer is premised on the mother, because it says that the gedi, vis-a-vis its mother, there's no problem of harba'a, as opposed to the gedi, vis-a-vis para v'rachel, where there is a problem of harba'a. That is not necessarily true, that the gedi vis-a-vis its mother is the kal, and the gedi vis-a-vis the para and achel is chamur, because malimo shkei nesraimo b'shchita. When it comes to the relationship between the gedi and its mother, there you have a problem of oto ve'beno lo tishchatu b'yom echad, that you're not allowed to shech them on the same day. Tomar b'para shlo nesraimo b'shchita. But the gedi's relationship to a para into a rachel doesn't have that issue of oto ved bino, because it's not its mother. And therefore, you see, there is a chumrah associated with its mother. Therefore, Talmud Omer, b'chalev imo. That's why the pasuk comes to teach you, b'chalev imo, because the kal v'chomer does fail. And that's what Rav Ashi said, the Kal v'chomer fails not in the second stage, but in the first stage, which is you establish that the Gdi's relationship to its mother is Kal versus the Gdi's relationship to a Parah v'Rachel. Because you said by mixed breeding, there's no problem between the offspring and the mother versus the Gdi and Parah v'Rachel, where there is a problem of crossbreeding. But there's a different item that shows you that maybe that's not true, because the Gdi, vis-a-vis its mother, cannot be shechted on the same day. But a Gdi and a Parah v'Rachel can be shechted on the same day. So there you see that there's a chumrah in the relationship between the Gdi and its mother, vis-a-vis the relationship of the Gdi, the Parah v'Rachel. That undermines the origins of the Kal v'chomer to establish the fact that Gdi vis-a-vis its mother is Kal in relationship to a Gdi vis-a-vis Parah v'Rachel. Now, Rashi over here goes out of his way to explain why the Braita over here is utilizing Chalev Imo in order to establish this. Because we already learned from Shmuel that he had all these drashot from Chalev Imo. Chalev Imo, velo b'chalav zachar. Chalev Imo, velo b'chalav shkuta. Chalev Imo, velo b'chalav tmeya. So he already used up all of the Chalev Imo. So then how come over here this Braita all of a sudden is using Chalev Imo or searching for what is the necessity for Chalev Imo? Didn't Shmuel already answer that question for us? Therefore, Rashi says over here, the Meyaita the Ribuye Ko Chalav Behema Torah, that the Chalev Imo is extraneous to teach you that it applies to the milk of any kosher animal. Because Hai Tana Lo Matzrich Le the Kiddush Shmuel, this Tana does not hold like Shmuel and does not need it for the dinim of Shmuel. The Chalav Zachar, the Chalav Shkuta, the Chalav Tmeya, Mechad Kra, can all be learnt out of one posuk. Those three different limudim that Shmuel splits them up into three different parts, you can learn them all out of one posuk. Da'imo k'tiv, because it says b'chalev imo. B'chalev imo means velo shkuta, velo zachar, velo tmeya. Da'gdi k'tiv. He learns all three of these items out of the chalev imo. Imo implies imo and not a shkuta. Imo velo zachar. You don't need any extra posuk to teach you that. That's obvious from the word imo. And then b'chalev imo, you learn out from the word gedi. If a gedi is something that is kasher, then certainly chalev imo has to be something that is kasher. Then Rashi goes on to explain that this Tana obviously believes that gedi does not include all kosher animals. It is because of the extraneous word gedi that we learn out other animals besides the gedi itself. Because if inherently in the word gedi was already included all the animals and all kosher animals, then why do you need Chalev Imo to teach you about Parah v'Rachel? That already would be subsumed under the word gedi. If it's subsumed under the word gedi, then Chalev Imo in relationship to gedi would teach you all the kosher animals. And that's what Rashi says actually precipitates the machloket that we're going to see later on, that we already saw in the Mishnah, as to how to darshan the gedi. If you believe gedi includes everything or subsumes everything in it, then the other words of gedi become extraneous, and then you can use those to exclude items, because everything was subsumed under gedi, and then each subsequent gedi is an exclusionary term, and that's what Rabbi Akiva says. He says that one gedi is the mute chaya, and one gedi is the mute of. But according to this Tano, who says that the word gedi does not include all animals, then the word gedi comes to be a riboy. And that it says that the gedi here is actually a gedi, a goat. Then the second gedi comes to include other animals. And therefore it's an inclusionary term. And then all those things that Shmuel learned out of the word gedi, Rashi says, just like Rabbi Akiva later on will say, he's able to learn those from mashma'ut of the word gedi. He doesn't need extraneous language to learn that. So Rashi establishes two things that are important over here. One is that the Tana of this Braita believes that gedi means gedi alone, and therefore you need an extra gedi to include the additional behemot tehorot and other animals. Number two is chalev imo then definitely means a kosher animal, but it's limited, and therefore you're going to need another chalev imo, just like you need another gedi to include other animals. You're also going to need a chalev imo to include other animals for the chalav side of this. Tosafot disagrees with that assumption of Rashi and says that even this Tana holds that gedi includes Parah v'Rachel, and Chalev Imo also includes Parah v'Rachel, you still need Chalev Imo over here for She'eino Mino. It's not coming to establish that there's an Isra of Chalav for a Parah and Rachel with its offspring and the Chalav of the mother. It's coming to establish that there's a problem of Gedi taking a goat with the milk of a para v'rachel. And that's why this is a different limud of chalev imo. And so therefore Tosfot says, ubechinam dachak bakuntres. Rashi went out of his way to try to establish that this Tana has a differentiated opinion over here, and he thinks that it was unnecessary because you could explain the whole need here for mixes between a basar and milk from different animals. Tosfot also argues on Rashi with regards to the position that just because you learn out of Chalev Imo over here, the dinim that are mentioned in this Braita, that also means that you can't learn the dinim of Shmuel, because he says that they're learning out of the different words over here. One of them is learned out of the word Chalev, and the other one is learned out of the word Imo. And that's because had you just written Chalev Imo once, then in the subsequent situations, you could have just written Imo, and you would have known it was Chalev Imo. And therefore, the words Chalev are extraneous over here. So one drasha comes from the repetition of the Lotva Shogadiba Chalev Imo three times, and the other one comes from the excess twice of the word Chalev Imo, when it could have just written Imo. And therefore, Tosafot establishes or suggests that you can learn both the dinim of Shmuel, as well as the dinim of these braitot from Chalev Imo. Tanya Yidach, we have another braita, b'chalev imo. It says in the pasuk, the mother's milk. Enli ala b'chalav imo. It's only true about the mother's milk. B'chalav achoto gidola. The chalav of his older sister, minayin. How do I know that that's the case? Amart, kavachomer. It could be established through a kavachomer. The Rashi over here brings two possible interpretations as to what achot gidola means. And actually, the Gemara is going to continue. We're going to have a braita about achot ketana, a younger sister. So Rashi at first brings an explanation that achot gedola means a para, which is a larger animal, and achot ketana, which is a rachel, which is a smaller animal. And he explains the Gemara according to that. But we're going to run into a problem all the way at the end of the Amud today in that explanation. And therefore Rashi does not like that interpretation, rather favors an interpretation that he brings from Yosef Tov Eleim, who says that achot gedola and achot ketana are speaking about the animal itself, and not about a different species, not about a para and rachel, rather about a gedi similar to it. And a gedola means an older animal that already had ma'asrot taken off of it, and a ketana is a younger animal that has yet to have ma'asrot taken off of it. And therefore, gedola and ketana has to do with whether it's already at the age that it went through the process of Maser Behema, and Ketana is that it's of a young age, and it has yet to go through the process of Maser Behema. And therefore, the Braita over here is in concert with the previous Braita. The previous Braita discussed Para V'Rachel, the source for that. And then this is another Braita, which is addressing what we do with the extra words, V'Chalev Imo. Because the word Chalev Imo appears three times. One of them, as Rashi says, is the gufe. The second one is for the bright that we just brought, which is to teach you about the milk of a para v'rachel. And the third one is, what do we do with it? And that's the answer that's being provided by this bright. According to the first lashon that Rashi brings, that achot gedola and achot ketana refers to a para v'rachel, then this bright would be arguing on the previous bright as to what the source is for a para v'rachel, or it's basically an alternate way to get to para v'rachel. Similar, but slightly different than the previous Braita. But we'll see in a second why Rashi rejects that explanation and favors the explanation that Achot Gedola and Ketana is also referencing to a Gedi, but an older Gedi and a younger Gedi. So Tanya Yidach, we have an alternate Braita, B'chalev Imo. En li'ela b'chalev Imo. It's only true by the milk of the mother. B'chalev Achoto Gedola Minayin. How do we know that when it's an older Gedi that already had Masrot or Maser Behema taken off of it? How do I know that that also is true? Amart ka v'chomer. Umayimo, shenichnesayimo, the deer, the hitaser, the mother that can be taken into the same corral to be counted towards my sebre ema, nevertheless, nesraimo bibishul, it is still a sur when it comes to bishul basar v'chalav. Achoto, shlonichnesayimo, the deer, the hitaser, its sister, now, either according to the explanation that this is a para, that's because bakar and son have to be separated for maser be'ema, and therefore bakar or para would be in a different corral for maser. Or if you say that it is speaking about an older gedi, which already had maser be'ema taken off of it, here it can't be taken into the same corral to have maser be'ema taken off of it because it already had maser behema done to it, enu dinshin esraimo bebishul, certainly it should have a problem of basar bechalav. Now, why would you need a pasuk to teach us that an animal that already had maser behema taken off of it would be problematic? And even though from the previous gemaras it seems obvious that something in the same species would be problematic, why do you need a riboy to include its sister, meaning not its mother, in order to make it chayav of basar bechalav? We're going to see on the top of the next amud, the gemara is not even certain about the mother's milk, whether you're going to be chayav for the mother itself and the mother's milk. And therefore, it makes sense, Rashi says, to say that by the case of achoto, it also is something that you need a limud for, because the gemara at this point is taking very literally, lo tevashel gedi bechalei vimo, that it's only the offspring with the mother's milk that would be problematic. And therefore, for anything else, we need a riboy. And that's what the achoto is saying over here. How do I know that achoto, that already was subject to maaser behema, how do I know that the milk of that older sister is also problematic? Well, it's a kal vachomer. If the mother, which can go into the same corral as the youngster, has an iser bishul basar bechalav, then certainly where they can't be put into the same corral because it already had maaser behema taken off of it, then certainly over there, there should be a problem of bishul basar bechalav. Or again, if you think it's a para, then in a case where by a gedi and a gedi of the same species, they can go into the same corral, and there's still an iser basar bechalav, then certainly with a para v'rachel, where they're different species, and they can't go into the same corral, then certainly there should be a problem of bishul basar bechalav. So now the Gemara says, Talmud lomar bechalei vimo. That's why the pasuk comes and says, bechalei vimo. Again, v'ha lama likra, what do you need a pasuk for? Ha atchile, you got it from a kal vachomer. Once again, there is an undermining of the kal vachomer from its basis, which is you're trying to learn out from the mother and establish that the relationship between the mother and the gedi is more kal than the relationship between the gedi and its sister or the gedi and a para. Again, there's a problem because otove beno applies to the mother and the child. When it comes to either a gedi and a para, or a gedi and its sister, there's no restriction of otove beno. Therefore, now you've undermined the kal v'chomer because it's no longer true that the relationship between the gedi and the mother is the kal, because there's a chomra in that relationship. So talmud omer b'chalei vimo. That's what chalei vimo comes to establish, that even achoto agdola, that milk also will be a problem for the gedi. Ashkechan achoto agdola. Achoto ktana minayin. So now you established it for the older sister. What about a younger sister? Now, either according to the original way that Rashi brings, that means a Rachel. But we have para Rachel and gedi. So then, how do I know that a Rachel, the milk of a Rachel, is also problematic? Or according to the second way Rashi explains it, that he brings from a Yosef Tov Yilein, it means that how do I know the younger sister, which means it has yet to have maser behema taken off of it. I mean, it's also subject to maser behema. Acha b'meinaya. You can learn that out from a tzada shaveh. You can learn it out from those items that are already asurim. Mehei teite. What are you going to learn it out from? Teite mi'imo. If you want to learn it from the mother itself, from the relationship between gedi and the mother over to a gedi and a rachel, mali imo shukei nesra imo bishchita. You can't establish from the mother to other items because the mother has a unique relationship with the child that has the subject to otov epino. So again, if you're speaking about a sister vis-a-vis the mother has a chumra of otov epino, the sister doesn't have it. Or if you're speaking about a rachel, the gedi and a rachel don't have the problem of otov epino. Achot agdola tochiach. Then they can be mochiach, which is achot agdola, either according to the first version of Rashi means the para. There, the relationship of the para and the gedi is the same relationship between the gedi and the rachel. Doesn't have this chumra of otov epino. Yet it still is asur b'basar b'chalav because of the previous thing that we said about chalei vimo. Or if you say that it's a reference to achot ketana means that it didn't have maser taken off of it versus achot gedola means it did have maser taken off of it, then again, the relationship of achot gedola to the gedi does not have the chumra v'tov v'no. Now, ma achoto agdola shlo nichnasa imo d'dir l'itaser. Wait a minute, there's a chumra about achoto agdola. Either if you say that it's para, and the gedi and the para don't go together in the same corral to have maser behema taken off of them, or if you say that it's a reference to the older sister that already had maser behema taken off of it, so maybe that's a chumra and you can't learn from it. imotokia. The mother can undermine that problem because the mother can go into the corral together with it, either because it's the same species or because the mother has yet to have maser bema taken off of it. Because they're adin. Therefore, if I take the two things, the achot gedola and the mother, lori zekerei zev, lori zekerei zev, each one of them has a chumrah that doesn't belong in the other one, or each one of them has a problem that the other one doesn't have. Atada sheveshman, the common denominator between them, shu basar, the gedi is meat, vasula vashel b'chalav, and you can't cook it with the chalav of either one of these animals, or either one of these relationships, whether it's achot gedola, or whether imo, and therefore afani avi achoto ktana, and therefore so too, the achoto ktana, shu basar, there's a basar of the gedi, vasula vashel b'chalav. It should be problematic with the chalav of that Rachel or that Achoto Ktana, that sister that has yet to have Maser Behemah taken off of it. Mar says, Iochi Achoto Gdolo Namitete Bibinayo. Then why don't you learn out Achoto Gdolo also from a Tzada Shaveh? Enochanami. The Gemara says, you're right. So now Rashi over here says that this undermines what you've said before because it doesn't make any sense. The Gemara here said, how do I know Para Virachel? And one of them was called Achot Gedola, and one was called Achot Ktana. So the Braita starts off, Kalevi Mo teaches me Para, because that's Achot Gedola. Now the Gemara wants to know, how do I know Achot Ktana? How do I know Rachel? Learn it out of its Tzada Shaveh, between mother and Para, then I can learn out Rachel. Then the Gemara says, well, why don't you learn out Para from a Tzada Shaveh? Well, what is the Tzada Shaveh that you're learning from? You would need it to be the Tzada Shaveh, to be the fact that the mother is a problematic, as well as Achoto Ktana, as well as the Rachel being problematic, and then the Tzada Shaveh would teach you Para. But you didn't establish yet that the Rachel is a sur, so how can you then learn it out as a Tzada Shaveh? Gemara is just flipping back and forth. You need one of them. You either need Para, or you need Rachel, one of them to be a sur in order to have a Tzada Shaveh. Gemara here is eliminating both of them, and then how do you have a Tzada Shaveh? And that's why Rashi says that the other explanation of Rav Yosef Tehuvilei makes more sense, that Achoto Gdola means a Gedi that had Maser taken off of it. Achoto Ktana means a Gdi, the sister that did not have Maser Beima taken off of it. And now the Gemara is saying, you could learn them out from a Tzada Shaveh, from Para V'Rachel. Because if this author of this Braita is the same author as the previous Braita, then you already used one Chalevi Mo for Gufo, the second Chalevi Mo for Para V'Rachel. Once you've already established that Para V'Rachel are problematic, then the Tzada Shaveh between Para V'Rachel and the mother will teach you that Achoto Gdola and Achoto Ktana, both of them can be learnt out of a Tzada Shaveh. If that's the case, then I don't need the Chalev Imo to teach about the older sister and the younger sister. That's not necessary. And that's what the Gemara says, Ela b'Chalev Imo lomali. Then what do I need the third Chalev Imo for? Vayile the Ktanyo. We need it for this bright b'Chalev Imo. Ainli ala b'Chalev Imo. I only know that it's true with regards to the mother's milk. He atzma b'Chalva minayin. How do I know that the mother herself in her own milk is problematic? So this is where Rashi says that, you see, the Gemara is not even sure that a mother in its own milk is asur. So then the Gemara could be asking, how do you know that a Gdi with its sister's milk is asur? That's not a far-fetched question, given now what the Gemara is saying here, that there's a havamina that Chalev Imo means literally the mother's milk. How do I know it's not only the mother's milk? It means even if she's cooked in her own milk that it's problematic. And obviously, the milk that we're speaking about here is milk that came out of the mother prior to her being shechted, because otherwise it would be chalav shkuta, which already establishes in a problem midoraita. So we're asking milk that was milked from the mother prior to being shechted. How do I know there's a problem of cooking the mother in that milk that was previously milked from the mother? Amaret kabachomer. It is a logical argument. Umama kom shalonesar pri impri bishchita. In a case where you have offspring are not problematic because of otovet beno, meaning that a mother that gives birth to two children, you can shech both of those children on the same day. The offspring of that mother can be shechted on the same day, and there's no restriction of a tobe b'no. Nesar pri imaim b'shchita. Nevertheless, the offspring, one of those children, along with the mother, would be restricted in shchita. Makom shenesar pri impri b'bishul. In a case where the offspring of the mother is restricted with the other offspring of the mother, one offspring of the mother is the child that is born. The other offspring is the milk that it produces. Meaning that pre here means anything that is produced by the mother. So in a case where the mother produces two children, there's no restriction against shechting both of those children on the same day. And yet there is a problem shechting the mother along with one of her offspring. in the case of two offsprings of the mother, which is Bishul Basar B'Chalei Bimo or Gedi B'Chalei Bimo, the child of the mother, together with the milk that is produced with the mother, both offsprings of the mother, they are problematic to be cooked together. Enu Din Shenesar Priyim Naim, that certainly the product of the mother, which is the milk, should be problematic with the mother herself. Tamalomar B'Chalei Bimo. That's what Chalei Bimo comes to teach you. Again, the Gemara says, Hamalom Likro. What do I need a pasuk for? Ha Achila. You already learned it through a Kal V'Chomer. You have a great Kal V'Chomer over here. Now, the Kal V'Chomer can be formulated in two ways. The Rosh brings a slightly different way to formulate it. It's either the way that we have it in our Gemara, which says that by two offspring, there's no problem of Oto Ve'et Beno, but yet there is a problem between the offspring and the mother in Oto Ve'et Beno. Then in the case of Gedi V'Chalei V'Imo, where two offsprings do produce a problem of Basar V'Chalav, then certainly the offspring with the mother, meaning the milk with the mother, should be problematic with Basar B'Chalav. The other way to explain it or express it is a similar way to their fashion, to the way the other Braito did, which is in a case where the Pri and Pri doesn't have a problem of Oto Ve'Beno, nevertheless, the Pri and Pri does have a problem of Basar B'Chalav, then in a place where there is a problem with the Pri and Ma'ein B'Shchita, which is Oto Ve'Beno, then certainly there should be a problem of a Priyama Aim, which is the Basar B'Chalav of the mother. So you could formulate it that way, which would be similar in structure to what we did before. But nevertheless, the Gemara is in a bind now, because why does the Braita need a Pasuk if it can be established to a Kal V'Chomer? What is undermining that Kal V'Chomer, then, that we need to bring it as a Pasuk? So Amar Rava Chodvai Barami Mishum De'ikala Meimar, because you can undermine it from the following. Sus Ben Susia Achi Parda. A horse that is born from a mother that is a horse, who mated with another horse and produced this offspring that's a horse, but he has a sister that was produced from this mother that was a horse, but a chamor that mated with it. So this mother mated with a chamor and produced a parda, a mule, and it also mated with the horse and produced this horse. And yochiach, they should prove it. Shasur, pri and pri. Over there, the brother and sister cannot get together because the brother is a horse, and the sister is a mule. And they're considered to be kilayim, one with the other. Umutar priyamayim. On the other hand, the offspring, the sus itself, can mate with the mother or with the species of the mother. So there you see that sometimes the offspring have something that's more chamur than the relationship between the offspring and the mother. Mar says, that's not a good undermining of the Kal V'Chomer. Hatam zera avhu tekal garim. Over there, it has nothing to do with the relationship between the child and the mother. It has to do with who the father is. That's what we established earlier on in Perek Oto Ve'Beno, that the father is the determining factor of the species, and that's what's governing over here. It has nothing to do with the mother. It has to do with the father's species. Daha, and I can prove to you that that's the case, Daha Pered Ben Susia, he had a chamor that made it with a female horse that produced a mule. Achi was the brother of a female mule that was produced from another chamor that got together with the susia. Yochiach, Shmutar Pri and Pri. Over there, the brother and sister can mate together. They're not considered to be different species. Ve'asur Pri Yimayim. Yet the offspring can't mate with the mother, because both the offsprings are called mules, and they can't mate with the mother, which is a susia, which is a female horse. On the other hand, the two offspring can mate with each other, because both of them were fathered by chamorim, by donkeys. So you see that it's nothing having to do with offspring versus offspring to the mother. It all has to do with the fact that the father is the governing species over there, and that explains whether you can or cannot mate the offspring. It has nothing to do with the fact that offspring and mothers have a relationship that's different than what we explained before. It's not because the offspring are more chamor than the mother. It's simply because whatever the species of the father are determine what the species of the offspring are, and you can't prove from there that sometimes the offspring have a more chamor relationship than the offspring and the mother. So Mar says, all right, maybe it's from here. If you have a Eved Knanit, that is the son of a Shifcha Knanit, Achi Mishu Chureret, who's the brother of a Shifcha Knanit that was freed. So this mother, who was a Shifcha Knanit, had a child who's an Eved Knanit, and also had another child that was a Shifcha Knanit, and then the Shifcha Knanit was freed, and now she's a Mishu Chureret. There you can prove, Shasur Pri and Pri, the son, who's an Eved Knani, is Asur in the mean, meaning not literally with his sister, but anybody who is a Mishu Chureret, he can't get married to, umutar pri imaim. Yet the Eved Kenani is mutar v'shivcha Kenanit. His mother's a shivcha Kenanit, he's an Eved Kenani. They are mutar, not they themselves, but their category is mutar with each other. So here you have a proof that sometimes the relationship between the offspring is more chamur than the relationship between the mother and the child. Gemara says, hotam get shichuru to gagorim. There's an exogenous variable that's causing the difference of the relationship. It's not in the inherent relationship between the children versus the child to the mother. It's the fact that there is another factor here, which is the get shichur. The fact that the sister was freed. That's what's determining everything over here. It has nothing to do with the fact that the children are more chamur versus the child to the mother. Daha, because I can prove that to you. Eved ben mishuchrer, because you have an Eved Kenani who was born to a Shivcha Kenanit, who was then freed afterwards. Achish Shivcha, but he has a sister who is a Shivcha Kenanit. Over there, Yochiach, that can prove to you that the opposite is true. Shemutai pri and pri, over there, the sister and brother can, in their categories, can get together because the brother is an Eved Kenani. The sister is a Shivcha Kenanit. Basur pri emai. Yet the Eved Kenani cannot get together with his mother, who is now a free woman. So you get the exact opposite outcome, and the only difference between the two outcomes is whether the mother was freed or the sister was freed. So you see that the difference in outcomes, the essential factor over here is the get shichrur and not the relationship between the offspring and the mother. Similar to the previous case where it's the father's species that determines everything and has nothing to do with the relationship between the offspring or the offspring and the mother. When it comes to kilayim that deals with zraim, there you can prove it from there. Sha'asur pri impri, because the product of the land, over here the mother is the land itself, the offspring is the product of the land. Over there, whether it's wheat or it's barley, which are offspring of the land, they are restricted with each other. Umutar pri imaim. Yet still, you can plant the barley back in the ground, or you plant the wheat independently back in the ground. Gemara says, klum nesar pri impri aliyah de'aim. Wait a minute. Over there, it's not so clear that there is any restriction of the offspring. The chita and the se'ora are only restricted with each other when they are reinserted into the aim, into the land itself. If you just put wheat and barley together in a single utensil, lo mitasru, that's not problematic. There's no iser kilayim to mix wheat and barley together or mix wheat flour with barley flour. The only restriction is to plant wheat and barley together. So that means that the restriction over here is not a restriction because of the two offspring. It's only the two offspring in the context of their mother. And so therefore you can't again prove anything that offspring should be more chamur in their relationship than the offspring vis-a-vis its mother. Halamar of Ashi, Mishum Deika the Meimar, this is the Pircha. Mala Pri and Pri, Shikain Shne Gufim. When it comes to the offspring, which are two separate entities, Tomar Be Pri Imaim, Shikain Guf Echad, versus the mother and its offspring, which are one entity. The Pircha of the Kavu Chomer here is not in the Kavu Chomer itself, but in the result of the Kavu Chomer, which is that Mala Pri and Pri, Shikain Shne Gufim, when it comes to the Basar Bechalab of the Gedi Bechalev Imo, they're separate entities. The Gedi is one entity, and the Chalev Imo is a different entity, and they are a Surim. Tamar Pri Imaim, over here, Shikain Guf Echad. How can you then prove necessarily that the milk of the mother and the mother herself are problematic when they are one entity? The mother produced the milk, and the mother's Basar is the mother itself, and therefore they are one entity. So maybe even if the whole Kavu Chomer is correct, the problem is not the Kavu Chomer, the basis, but rather the limud that you want to make from it. You're saying to me that the offspring have a kula that the offspring and the mother doesn't have. That's true. But then you want to extend that and say, well, just like the offspring still have a problem with the basar b'chalav, the product of the mother has a problem of bisur basar b'chalav. Certainly the mother with her milk should be problematic. But maybe the mother and her milk has a different relationship than the child and the milk of the mother. And that's because one is two entities and one is a single entity. And maybe for that reason, the mother should not be problematic to be cooked in her own milk. And that's why you need Talmud Lomar b'chalev imo to teach you that even the mother in her own milk is problematic. Amar Rav Ashi, minay le basar b'chalav shasur b'achila. How do we know that basar b'chalav is asur b'achila? Now the question is a little bit difficult because the pasuk says, "Lo tavashel gedi b'chalev imo." and we have a lima that wrote it three times, one to make it asur bibishul, one to make it asur b'achila, and one to make it asur b'ana. If that's the case, we do have a source for the fact that it's asur b'achila. So either Ravashi is trying to address the Tanaim that don't learn that way from the Lotavashel Gadi B'chalei Bimo, which is the limud of Rabbi Yishmael. So those that don't learn like the Mechil Dud Rabbi Yishmael, how do they have an isur achila? Or the possibility is that Ravashi is saying, how do I know that there are multiple Isurim Achila? Not only Lotavashel Gadi B'chalei Bimo makes it asur b'achila, but also there are other Isurim that devolve upon Basar B'chalav over here. Or possibly it's coming to establish the fact that there is not only an Isur Lav, but there's also Malkot that are associated with the Achila. Shinemar, because the Pasuk says, Lo Tochal Kol Toeva, Kol She'Ta'avti Lecha Harihu B'Bal Tochal. Anything that is considered disgusting or off limits to you, it has a restriction against eating it. As Rashi explains over here, Kol She'Ta'avti Lecha means, Kol She'Asarti Lecha L'Tavo L'Tirachek Menu. Anything I told you that you shouldn't desire or you need to stay away from, and over here it tells you you may not cook these items together. That's always restricted from being eaten. Whether it comes through doing something wrong or not doing something wrong, either whether you cook the basar b'chalav together or whether someone else cooked the basar b'chalav together, it's still something that is restricted. Once I told you that this thing is off limits, meaning that it's always problematic, no matter how it comes about, then in that case, I tell you that you must distance yourself from it in a way that also precipitates an Isur Achila, the Ainli Ella Be'achila. So that teaches me that there's an Isur Achila. Behana'a Minayin. How do I know there's also an Isur Hana over here? Kid Rabbi Abou. That's like Rabbi Abou from the Gemara Pesachim. Dam Rabbi Abou, Am Rabbi Lazar. Kol makom she'emar lo yochal, lo tochal, lo tochlu. Anytime there's an Isur Achila in the Torah, Echad Isur Achila ve'echad Isur Hana b'mashma. It's subsumed under the Isur Achila is also an Isur Hana. As we explained earlier, the Isur Achila is just an intense form of the Isur Hana. So the Torah says you can't eat it, it also means you can't get Hana from it. Ad shifrot techa kaduv gedere shepiret techa b'nevela. Until the Torah specifies that there's an exception for the Hana, the way it does by nevela. Because there it says, leger b'netina, olo v'kochavem b'mechira. A reference to the pasuk in Parshat Re'eh in Perek Yudalet, pasuk Chaf Aleph, lo tochlu kol nevela, you may not eat any nevela. Then the Torah says afterwards, after telling you can't eat it, that then you can, ger shebi shachrecha titnenu, you can give it to a ger toshab, v'achala, and you can eat it, o machor lenachri, or you can sell it to the non-Jew. Kiyam kadosh atal Hashem lokecha, lo tevashel gedi b'chalei bimo. So we already saw this in the Mishnah, the Hekesh between Lo Tochlu Kol Nevela and Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalei Bimo, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili. But over here, the focus is on the beginning. The pasuk says, don't eat it. Then afterwards, it has to give you permission to give it to the Ger Tushav or to sell it to the Nachri, which means that it's permitting you to get Hana from it. Why does it need to permit Hana if all it told you was you can't eat it? If you can't eat it, that means that Hana should have been a Mutar. What that shows you is that whenever it says don't eat, it means Isur Hana as well. And that's why the pasuk over there has to specify specifically a heter hana'a that is associated with the Isur Achila of Nevela. From there, we will then look at any other Isur Achila that's in the Torah as being both an Isur Achila and Isur Hana'a, unless the Torah tells you that you can get Hana from it. And therefore, with those two pieces of the puzzle, Ravashi now establishes that there's an Isur Achila from Lo Tochal Kol Toeva, that you may not eat anything that is disgusting. Kol She'Ta'avti Lecha. Anything that is a toiva, you may not eat. And there are achronim that point out that this idea of toiva is only when you produce the toiva is produced. It's not something that's naturally mitoav. It's only something that comes from some sort of action that precipitates the toiva. Whether the action happens actively or passively, the fact that it's created through some sort of action or inaction over here, that toiva is something that's restricted by lo tochal. That's what gives you the isur achila over here. And then once I have an Isur Achila, automatically with that comes an Isur Hana'a. And this might go back to what we did at the end of yesterday's daf with regards to the Isur Bishul and the Isur Achila, and what is the relationship between them, because the Rambam says that when it comes to the Isur Achila, Basar B'Chalav, the reason the Torah framed it as Isur Bishul is because if the Torah asserted the Bishul, then certainly it asserted the Achila. You can explain that in one of two ways. You can either explain that based on what Ravashi is saying over here, which is the Isur Bishul produces a toiva, and then the toiva, by definition, produces an isur achila. So that's one way to explain the Rambam. The other way to explain the Rambam is to say that the bishul is a hechsher la'achila, or it's a preparation for achila. And therefore, if it's asur bishul, certainly it's going to be asur be'achila. Meaning that, is bishul only asur because it's a preparatory stage to achila? Or is bishul inherently problematic by itself? So our Gemara, the way Rav Ashi is explaining it, it has an inherent problem. And therefore, if the reason that there's no isur achila is because of ein isur chalal isur, like the instance of chaylev or nevela, where we said there that there's ein isur chalal isur, maybe there basar b'chalav should not apply with regards to the achila, then is there an isur bishul? If you believe that bishul is just a preparatory stage to achila, if there's not a problem or an isur basar b'chalav be'achila, then there shouldn't be one by bishul. On the other hand, if you believe that it is a separate isur, like Rav Ashi is establishing over here, then even if the achila doesn't have a problem basar b'chalav because of isur chal isur, maybe the bishul is still asur inherently. And that would actually precipitate the different explanations that we saw with regards to that machloket Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi at the end of yesterday's daf, with regards to whether there's makot for bishul or achila, by bishul achila, one or the other, or neither of them. And that all might be precipitated by what the source or what's the relationship between bishul and achila. Tanya, lo tochlu kol nevela lager sher bisharecha tidnena bachala umachor lenachri. En li ala ger benitina ulu vikochavim b'mechira. Sounds like from the pasuk that you can only give it or gift it to a ger toshav, but you may not do that for an ovei kochavim. You have to sell it to an ovei kochavim. How do I know that the ger b'mechira, that selling it to a ger toshav is okay? Minayin tamalomar lager tidneno umachor. They're reading the pasuk by parsing it in a way that puts the verbs that are in the middle connected to the two objects of the pasuk. It says, lo tochlu kol nevela, ger sher bisharecha tidnena v'achala, o machor. That's one way to read it. And then, lo ovei kochavim b'nitina minayin. How do I know that you can give it to an ovei kochavim? Tamid lomar tidnena o machor lenachri. Again, they parse the pasuk, lo tochlu kol nevela, tidnena v'achala, o machor lenachri. And they put the two positions in the middle. Because of the way that it's structured, that it put the titnena and the machor in between the ger and the nachri, it allows us to read both of them with both of those items, both with the ger and the nachri. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir over here, it applies equally to both of them. Nimsa achad ger v'achad kochavim ben memechira ben menitina. So it turns out, it doesn't matter whether it's for a ger toshav or a goy, you can either give it to them or you can sell it to them. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's what the pasuk is coming to teach you. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Devarim kichtavam. You have to take it literally. Lager benitina, olo v'kochavim b'mechira. You have to either give it to a ger toshav, or you have to sell it to an ovei kochavim. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda's reading of the pasuk? Isak adat v'kadama Rabbi Meir. If what Rabbi Meir said is true, lichtach rachmano lo tochlu kol nevela, lager asher bisharecha titnena v'achala, Umachor. Oh, Lamali, why do I have the O in between it? It shouldn't be or, it should be written, why does it have the word O in there? It's coming to teach you that it has to be literally, because the O is mechalek between the two of them, and it divides between the titnena and the machor. The mechira dovei kochavim. The reason the word O is there is to teach you that there is a priority over here. We would prioritize giving it to the ger toshav over selling it to the ovei kochavim. Rabbi Yehuda laktim nitina the ger the mechira the ovei kochavim lo tzarich kra svaru. And Rabbi Yehuda himself, he doesn't need the pasuk to teach you that. It's a logical argument that you have to give it to the ger toshav before you sell it to the ovei kochavim. Zeata mitzuve l'chachayoto. You are required to support and sustain the ger toshav. And by the goy, you don't have that requirement. So certainly there should be precedence given to giving it to the ger toshav over selling it to the nachri. Now there are a number of things to clarify over here. The Baal Tosfot point out that Rabbi Abbo's position can only be within the view of Rabbi Meir, but not according to Rabbi Yehuda. And that's because Rabbi Abbo needs the pasuk over here to teach us to other areas that there is a heter hana over here, telling you that in other places of Isur Achila, that there really is an Isur hana associated with it. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need the pasuk li chtavam. You need it to teach you exactly what is the priority over here. So Rabbi Yehuda can't say that the reason the pasuk came to teach you the heter hana'ah versus the iser achilah, because the heter hana'ah here is specifically coming to tell you which has a priority, which way you can do it. You can only give it to the ger and sell it to the nachri. And therefore he learned something from the pasuk already, and therefore he can't use it to establish a paradigm. And then this principle that you have to give it to the ger toshav before you sell it off to the goy, Tosafot over here qualifies that and says, the davka nevela b'Eretz Yisrael. That's only true when you have an nevela in Eretz Yisrael. She'enu v'dei kochavim mitzuim sham. Where you don't have a lot of people to buy up the nevela, and therefore if you go to sell it, you're going to get very little for it. In that case, you can give up a little bit of compensation in order to give it to the ger toshav. There we have a requirement that you give it to the ger toshav first, before you sell it to the nachri. On the other hand, when you have a situation in which you can sell something for a proper price and for good value, of course you can sell it before you have to give it away to a ger toshav, because who restricts you from making proper money or compensation for that which you own? Because you're entitled to get proper compensation for that which you sell. And Tosfot points out that you even have a right to sell something to an ger toshav before you give it away free to a Jew, because you have to get compensated. The only time we say that you have to give precedence to selling to a Jew over an ger toshav is if you're getting compensated fairly by both parties, or maybe there's a small difference between them. But where you're giving it away versus getting full price for it, there's no requirement that you give it away first versus getting full price for it, not to a Jew and not to a ger toshav. So Tosafot says that this concept is limited to the case in Eretz Yisrael, where you would fetch very little for the nevela. In addition, Tosafot raises the issue that we already have an isur of giving things away to an ovei kochavim, which is lo techanim. So then why does Rabbi Yehuda over here need an additional pasuk to tell you that you can only sell it to a nachri or give it to the ger toshav? You already have an isur of lo techanim. So the Baal Yehuda Tosafot suggests that there's now a lav that's now on top of the isur aseh. Omer chor lanachri means you should sell it to the nachri, implying that you shouldn't give it away to the nachri. Here now lo techanim brings a lav that then is associated with this isur aseh. And for Rabbi Meir, who permits you to give it away to the Nachri, why is it permissible to give it away to a Nachri when you have an Isra of Lo Techanim? That the Baal Yehuda Tosafot explained, like the Gemara explains in Avodah Zarah, about how are you sending gifts to a Nachri that includes the Gita Nashenit from the Mishnah that we saw earlier in the Masechta. And that is because sometimes giving a gift is equated to selling it to the Goy. And that's based on the Tosefta that says, Mayash Cheno Mutar Mipnei Shu Kemokro Lo. That when you give it away to your neighbor, it's the equivalent of selling it to him. And that's because sometimes when you give away something for free, it's actually not really giving it away for free. It is a quid pro quo. And you have expectations that if you give him a gift, that he's also going to do things in return. And therefore, it's the equivalent of selling it to him and not giving it away is a matnat chinam. And that's where Rabbi Meir will also say the permission to give it away to the goy and not violate lo techanim is in a situation or a scenario whereby you're giving it away is the equivalent of selling it to him because you're expecting something in return for that giving it away. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots at the bottom of Kuf Yud Daled Amud Bet.